Hello, and welcome back to another episode of 10-4. My name is Brian Keller, and today we'll be talking about functional UI testing, also known as coded UI testing, which is a new feature in Visual Studio Team System 2010 that allows you to create an automated test that can effectively drive through your user interface, and then you can add validation logic as well so that you can create a suite of automated tests which can be used to quickly determine whether or not you've regressed functionality within the UI of your application. And so this is a brand new feature in Visual Studio Team System 2005 and 2008. We did have a web recording capability that allowed you to do something kind of similar. But the difference here is that the web recording capabilities really operate at the HTTP or HTTPS layer, whereas if you try to do web recording with a coded UI test, it actually operates all the way down to the DOM layer. So recording a test and running it within Firefox might be different than running it within IE, for example. So we support several different application platform stacks. Here is just a slide showing what the proposed plan is for Visual Studio Team System 2010 at beta, and then leading up to RTM. And then the team is also working to deliver additional functionality post-RTM as well. So we want to continue to enrich the suite of application stacks that you can target. So if you're targeting an application stack that you don't see listed here, just stay tuned, and hopefully we'll be able to either deliver that functionality ourselves or partner with some third parties to do that. The entire testing framework is extensible. So let's dive right in, and I'll show you a demonstration of how this capability works. What I'll be using today is actually a pre-beta 1 build. So this is what you can expect it to more or less look like in beta 1. There are some significant changes that are being made for beta 2 of Visual Studio Team System 2010. So what you see in this video may not exactly match later on if you're watching this video, but it should give you a general idea. So let's dive right in. Okay, so to start with here, we just need a sample application to test. I have just a basic calculator here. Nothing fancy at all. This is created using WPF. Just think of it as your hello world of coded UI tests here. So if I type in some numbers, I say add, I get the results of the addition between those two, subtract, multiply, divide. So pretty straightforward there. So we'll close that application. I'll open up Visual Studio. And this is Visual Studio Team System 2010. I just have a sample project in here. This is a test project. What we'll do is add a new test type, which is the coded UI test. And so to start with, we have a wizard that pops up that says that asks how we want to record this test. And so the first thing we could choose is if we've used the Microsoft Test Runner to execute manual tests before, we can actually take the automation strips that were created using those test executions and use those to feed right into a coded UI test. I'm not going to do that today. What I'm going to do is record from scratch using the recorder, and then after we've recorded some clicks through the application and some typing of some text, then what we'll do is we'll actually use the UI control locator to validate the results that we see there. So we'll use the recorder here, and we'll just click on record actions, and this is going to capture everything that I do. So we'll open up the application, we'll type in 200, we'll type in 10. Down here you can see it's actually capturing everything in this action log, and what it will do later is convert that into code, either C# or Visual Basic. In my case, I have a C# project. So if we click on add, subtract, multiply, divide, and now we can tell this to generate a method based on what I just did. And so we'll just call it enter data and press buttons. Say generate method from there. Now the recorder is still active, so if I wanted to record other tests at this point or other steps, I could do that at this point. What I want to do is I actually want to add some validation logic so that I'm validating that not only could I click through the application, but I get the results that I expected to see. So I'll launch this UI control locator, and what I get is this this crosshair down here that I can use to drag and drop onto the control that I'm interested in validating. And so we actually want to validate this text box. So I select that. You can see that it gave me the name of that text box. Now, in some cases, it may be hard to actually place the crosshair on the exact control that you want. So what you can do is you can use these controls over here, kind of like a D-pad, to navigate to the parent element or the child element, and then to the sibling elements as well. So you can just quickly navigate through the UI of your application to find exactly the control that you want to validate. So we'll add that control, and we'll add some validation logic by looking at the properties for this control. So here's all the properties for this particular text box that were either inherited or part of that control directly. And so what I'm looking for is this text property. You can see there's a rich set of other control properties that I could validate on, like if I wanted to verify that the placement was correct or that the font was correct. There's all sorts of things that I could validate here. But we just need to verify the text. And so we'll say OK. And then we'll save that. And then lastly, I just want to record myself closing this application. So we'll just go ahead and do that. And record that as a new test method, generate method, and close the recorder. And so now what we have is everything that we just did is now turned into code. And so if I look down here, the first thing that I did was I created this method called enter data and press buttons. That actually gets placed into a class called recorded methods, so we'll take a closer look at that in a moment. We also have this validation logic, so it's just a very basic assertion, asserting that this particular control is equal to 20. And then finally, we close the application. So if I run this application, Control F5, my hands are off the mouse and keyboard, and it's actually driving the application for me. And then once it gets to the end, it's going to validate that that the divide function returned 20. So at this point, we've actually only validated the divide function because that was the last thing that came up. What I want to do now is I actually want to validate every step along the way. And so there's various approaches you could take to this, but the way that I'm going to do this is to refactor this recorded methods class so that we are validating, inserting those assertions after I click on add, after I click on subtract, after multiply, and after divide. So let's first take a look at recorded methods, and you can see the structure that gets created there. So we'll go to definition. And this is actually what Visual Studio uses when it's driving your application. And so what you can see here, for example, is that it's launching the application. And you'll notice that that it has two paths that are recorded. The first one is an absolute path that goes straight to where that project resides on my hard drive. But then it also realizes that that was launched via a relative path using the Visual Studio project directory. And so the nice thing about this is that if I move that project within the Visual Studio project directory, then I can have a fallback mechanism of actually launching that application. And you'll see that that's a theme that's consistent throughout the coded UI test mechanism. Oftentimes, one of the problems with automated tests is that they can become very fragile. So if you change the name of a control or if you change the location of a control, then your automated tests all have to be re-recorded. The way that the Team System 2010 works is that it uses several fallback mechanisms to, whenever possible, try to identify exactly which application or part of your application changed so that it can still find the relevant launch point for that. And so, for example, if you rename a control, it may still be able to find it because of the relative position of that control within a grid of other controls that that you might have within your UI, for example. So as we go through this application, you can see that I typed 200 into this particular text box. If I expand the search criteria, it's looking for that text box based on this particular name. So that's why it's really important to give your controls meaningful names prior to writing your test logic, because that's going to make it easier for you to author coded UI tests and be able to figure out exactly which controls you're testing against. So we entered 200, we entered 10, we clicked on add, we clicked on subtract. Now at this point, I actually pressed the tab key to go from the subtract button to the multiply button. And that may be something that you want to test as part of your application, so you may want to rely explicitly on tab order. For this particular application, I don't want to rely on tab order. I want to have the flexibility to change the layout of my application and change the tab order later without having to re-record all of my automated tests. So what I'll do is I'll just come in here and delete that tab. And next we click on multiply and divide. And so what I want to do here is I want to now change the factoring of this application so that I'm actually calling the assertions to validate the UI behavior between every single one of these button clicks. And so in order to do that, I first just need to change the method signature here to accept a UI map. And before I go too much further, I should say that some of this, some of what you see here might change for beta 2. So the team's working right now to figure out some better approaches to how you would go through the type of scenario that I'm showing you. So you may not have to do this refactoring, or you may do it in a different method down the road. But you can get the general sense for how the coded UI tests work by watching what I'm doing here. And then, so instead of calling by the old signature, I'll just call by the new signature and pass in this UI map. The UI map is basically a class that defines all the different controls that you're validating against. And so when I used the crosshair to drag and drop and select that text box control, it recorded all that information about what that text box actually is and what all the properties are in this UI map. And that actually gets saved off to your as part of your project as well. And so now I just need to take the validation logic and move it from my coded UI test into my recorded methods. And so that was the validation logic for the divide function. I'll just get rid of that comment here and make it easier to reuse this. And we want to do the same thing for multiply. So 200 times 20, or times 10 rather, is 2,000. 200 minus 10 is 190, and 200 plus 10 is 210. So now at this point, we have four different validation steps. If I rerun this test, assuming I did everything right, then it should now relaunch my application. And even though you won't see it happening right here, what it's actually doing is it's verifying every step of the way. And so what I can do to prove that to you is I can change this this subtract assertion. So let's assume that we entered something wrong here. So it's, instead of expecting 190, we'll expect 1900. And so it should actually fail at this point once it gets to the subtract function. And sure enough, it failed. It said that it was expecting 1900, and the actual result was 190. But from these test results, if we're doing multiple assertions, one nice trick to be able to get better results here is to actually pass another argument to my assertion, which says exactly which assertion failed. So for this step, we'll say add failed, and for this one, subtract failed, multiply failed, and divide failed. And so if I rerun this test, what you'll see now is instead of just saying that the assertion failed, we'll get some more information in the test results that say exactly which one failed. And so here you can see that subtract failed. And so that's pretty nice. If I'm a tester or a developer getting in the morning and taking a look at the results of the automated test run, I can know right away exactly which one of the assertions failed, so I know where to go take a look and start making some fixes. So let's change that back to 190. That's a pretty nice test. It gives me a nice reliable way to execute and figure out whether or not my calculator can add, subtract, multiply, and divide the values 200 and 10. But wouldn't it be nice if I could actually feed a data source to that so that I could run this test multiple times in succession and determine for a wide range of values exactly how my application behaves? And so the team system makes it really easy to do that. What I'll do first is I'll open up my my test window and look at the test view. And so I can see my test down here. And what I can do is I can just connect to a data source. And so I can select a database, a CSV file, an XML file. In this case, I have an XML file that's just this calc data file. I'll show that to you. Just very basic file. So it says for these particular values, this is what I expect for add, subtract, multiply, divide for these values, and so on and so forth. And I might have 1,000 values in here that each have their own different expected results. And so I'll just select that file. And it even shows a preview here of exactly what values are in that file. And we'll say finish. And Team System is going to offer to add this to my current project, which is nice because what that means is I can then check it in, for example, to Team Foundation Server, and that can become part of my automated build. So I'm going to say, yes, I do want to include that as part of my project. And now the only thing left to do is to actually change my application so that instead of using these hard-coded values, it uses the values from that particular data source. And so the way we do that is we say test context.data row, and we feed it the index value and just convert that to a string. So we'll just change the assertions to use the same pattern here. And finally, divide. And so now, if I rerun this application, it's going to run through the application or the coded UI test multiple times, once for every row that's in my data source. And so sure enough, my test passed. You can see down here that the test run was completed. Results 3 of 3 passed. But you may have noticed that I only had 2 rows in my data source. Team System treats the overall test as a test as well. So it's the overall test that passed as well as the individual test runs that passed. So that's the 2 rows in my data source plus the overall test. And so that's just a quick demo of how coded UI testing will work in Beta 1. Like I said, the team is working on some changes and some enhancements to this experience that will show up in Beta 2 and eventually in RTM as well. So just bear that in mind as you're going through this. But using this, you can just get a quick idea of how Visual Studio Team System 2010 is delivering functional UI testing. And be sure to check out the other 10.4 episodes that we have. And thanks for watching.